homesteaders in Homer that would like to see their homesteads remain in their natural state after they pass on, and it passes on to their children. And lots of historical properties in Homer that we're real concerned about keeping in its natural state.
Ms. Pearsall, under what form of law did you create this land trust?
Well, the issue is that there's nothing that forbids people to doing it. It's merely that the common law under enforcement can cause a problem.
Mm-hmm. What kind of problems?
Well, that's where we get into, let's see. If you would refer to Section 4. It's not a section.
No.
Oh, you mean Section 4 of the Uniform Act.
These are the things that we're trying to do.
Okay. On page 2, 3417030, that's what I was looking for. The conservation easement is valid even though, and these are the questions raised by common law. It's not appurtenant to an interest in real property. It can or be or has been assigned to another holder. It's not of a character that's been recognized traditionally as common law. It imposes a negative burden. It imposes affirmative obligations upon the owner of an interest in the burden property or upon the holder. It does not benefit, does not touch or concern real property, which, or there's no privity of the state or of contract. I mean, that's the whole thing, that the body of law that's out there could be contra to the giving of this kind of an easement.
Okay, the simple answer is
okay,
that
sorry.
Right now, well, I know committee council just gave it to me, is that right now, to be absolutely sure, you have to own the adjoining piece of property. The Conservation Act would eliminate that particular requirement. You cannot grant this easement in perpetuity unless you own the adjoining piece. And so this eliminates that.
I believe so. I believe you might be able to buy an easement from that. If that, yes, that other person, say you own the adjoining property, you would have to buy that easement from that other person. If you want to do it in combination with somebody that owns land and wants the right of way to go through, you'd have to have that agreement, yes.
The only thing is, though, let's take the Wendler building. Doesn't touch another piece of property. It's the facade and the outside appearance of that building. Do you mean under common law, unless you owned adjacent property, you couldn't enter into that?
Mr. Christensen.
Maybe we're getting into.
For the record, my name is Charles Christensen. I'm the committee's counsel. Madam Chairman, you can purchase essentially conservation easements at the present time. However, they are only strictly enforceable at common law if they're for a limited duration. You buy the right to own this open space for 100 years, for example, or for the lifetime of the current owner. If you're buying a right in perpetuity, if you're just buying, say, the right to that easement forever, the common law won't enforce it unless you own the land that's strictly adjacent.
I see. Okay.
Now, people do it all the time, and the problem doesn't arise until someone changes their mind in later years and tries to enforce it in court, at which point the court says, no, we won't do that.
Would this then, well, no, we'll leave Senator Alford's out for right now.
Yes.
I have something else I'd like to add. I looked something up.
Ms. Hoffman, you may join us at the table. Mary, you don't have to go.
Okay.
Ms. Hoffman, if you will, please. And you need to identify yourself again, Ms. Hoffman.
Sure. My name is Carrie Hoffman. I just looked something up that had to do with Senator Halford's question. And if you'd like, I can enter something on the record having to do with that. One of the expert documents that's floating around right now that's widely used all across the United States is a book that's called the Conservation Easement Handbook, and it's was published as a project of the Trust for Public Land and the Land Trust Exchange with assistance by the National Trust for Historic Preservation. And in this book, in one of the chapters, they explain property tax reductions. And essentially what it says is that it's not something that, well, Mr. Ginsburg, who wrote this particular article, said that fears of erosion of the tax base have little basis in fact. And in this chapter, he explains that in order for the property taxes to be reduced, the property owner would have to have strong motivation to go to the local tax assessor and ask for a reduction. And they would have to go through an appeal process and that type of thing. And so generally across the United States, it's not felt like that's a real important issue.
Okay. Any other questions? Fine, then we will see this bill Thursday. Yes, Senator Pearson.
On Senate Bill 52, Senator Duncan's bill.
Again, for the record, my name is Charles Christensen. The original bill made a change to a court rule that applied to interpreters, and the language was taken out of the bill in the CS so that it no longer made a change to the court rule.
So that court rule section, Rule 604, was it?
That's correct.
Any other business to come before the committee? Meeting adjourned, and we'll pass it over to committee.